Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 39 in just a moment. The title of my message today is, Should I Be Afraid? And the Word of God tells us in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. It tells us there will be famine, earthquakes, tribulation, all sorts of things all about. In Matthew 24, the disciples ask Jesus when he will return, when these things will come about. And in what's often referred to as the Olivet Discourse, he lays out for them things that will be happening. And honestly, as I look at the events of the day, I can't help but to think we're certainly closer than we've ever been to the end of time, to the Lord's return. I believe it is imminent. I believe it is on the near horizon. I don't pretend to know when that will be, but I do believe it's closer than it's ever been. Certainly, we've seen a tremendous shift in the culture of the United States. In the last 20 years, the animosity toward Christians has stepped up in a very real way. What was once an attack from the fringes to quiet Christians and to push them out of the public arena has become a clear and concentrated battle that's been fought in courtrooms on the local, state, and federal level, including the Supreme Court. The judiciary has done all it can to erode and water down Christian values and even to kick God out of any government venues from schools to firehouses and beyond. A recent district court ruling ruled against religious organizations that are not willing to provide abortificant drugs, that is, morning after pills, to its employees, and that includes Truett McConnell College right here in the great state of Georgia. Planned Parenthood has done things lately, and the spin of the media has been, well, shame on you for going in and videoing them illegally. No, shame on you, Planned Parenthood, for treating human life with such disdain and such disrespect. There is supposed to be a vote tomorrow in the Senate about Planned Parenthood. It is a procedural vote that will begin the process of defunding Planned Parenthood. Senator from Oklahoma will be bringing it to the floor. Amen. It is a procedural vote, and it will require 60 votes in the Senate. He's had over 50 already commit to it. Please pray for God's hand to be in this. Please pray for God to swing this. We do not need to continue funding such heinous acts as what has taken place. The gentleman from Oklahoma, the senator from Oklahoma, is a Southern Baptist minister who worked for the Oklahoma State Convention. Praise God, we have people who still love the Lord, who are serving our nation and representing their state. So pray for that to take place. It is true, we're under attack as Christians. I'm certain of the fact that it's not going to stop anytime in the near future. However, we have to ask the question, should I be afraid? And I would say to you, the answer is absolutely not. We know who is on the throne. God is still in control. We can count on it. Jesus told us that we could expect to be persecuted, and we're seeing that take place. We're seeing exactly what he said would happen take place around us. I'm afraid that some of the things that have happened within our culture, we have no one to blame but ourselves for our own apathy and unwillingness to step up and to take a stand. But nevertheless, we can trust the fact that God will stand with those who stand with him. And in spite of our silence, I want to remind you that God is faithful. And when we turn to him, he is always there for us. We're going to look at a text this morning that I hope and pray will be encouragement to you in these dark days. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. What then are we to say about these things if God is for us? Who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of or sword, as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word is not just a truth, but is absolute truth. We thank you that it is your word, and it is your promises to us. Lord, as we listen to what you inspired Paul to write, God, may we be encouraged by these promises today. Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to share with you, as we think about these strong words from the Apostle Paul that are just as true and relevant today as they were when they were written, things that we can be encouraged about, three reasons we have in this text to have courage. Three reasons to have courage. The first reason to have courage is because God gave his all. When it seems like everyone and everything is against us, Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He goes on to say that God didn't spare his own son, but instead gave him as a sacrifice for our sin. The truth of the matter is, we cannot wrap our mind around that reality. We can look at it, we can think about it, but to think that the one who created us, if you study Scripture at all, you know that Christ was the active agent in creation. The one who created us also died for us on the cross. That is an amazing, crazy kind of love, that he would love us that much, in spite of the fact that he knew what we would do, in spite of the fact that he knew we would rebel. God created and chose to die for us. Now, I have to say to you, I love you, but I'm not willing to give my son in your place. If you're a Christian, I'll see you in heaven anyway. So, But seriously, the one who created you in his own image, in spite of knowing that you would sin, in spite of knowing that you would make it necessary for his son to die in his place, still created you and still sent his son to die for you. So when we start walking around all long face and lamenting the fact that nobody cares about us, nobody likes us, can I just say to you, we need to stop it and look in the face of an amazing God, of a wonderful and incredible love, of a Savior who was willing to die in my place. A Savior who was willing to take upon himself what I should have had to endure, what I should have had to experience. He took my sin upon himself so that I wouldn't have to. The Creator of the universe gave his all for you. You have far more love coming your direction from him than you will ever be able to give back to him or give to someone else. God said you were worth everything to him, and he still says that today. It doesn't matter how the Supreme Court defines marriage. It doesn't matter how science describes an unborn child. God is still the supreme authority, and he gave his everything for you, including his own son. What then do we really have to be afraid of? The government can intrude on us all they want to, but they cannot change God's love for us. They're not bigger than God, even though some in government think that they're more important than God. When I look back on the pages of Scripture and I think about those in the past who thought they were more important than God, I can't help but to think about Nebuchadnezzar. I can't help but to think about how he had become full of himself, and God had given him a dream that his own seers couldn't interpret. So Daniel came in and said, "Let me tell you about that dream, king. You don't want this to happen. The kingdom's not going to be taken entirely away from you, but it's going to be taken away from you to some degree. And king, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. Repent." Let's look in Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 27, we find these words. "King Nebuchadnezzar," this is Daniel speaking to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor, perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, God gave him 12 months to heed Daniel's advice, to repent. But 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." He was just patting himself all over the back. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like birds' claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was in control. He thought he had done all of this. He didn't acknowledge God. He didn't thank God for any of it. And God literally took his sanity away from him, and he wandered around in the field like a madman until literally his hair grew the length of eagle's feathers and his fingernails were like the claws of a bird. What an amazing picture of how quickly God can take away what we think we alone are responsible for. There are those in government all across the board who think they're smarter than God, who think they're more important than God, and yet they are one word from God away from being just like Nebuchadnezzar. All of us are under God's control. All of us ultimately are under God's authority. Take courage today, knowing that God gave even his own son for you because you're special to him. You're important to him. He loves you that much. Your life was worth the life of his son. So don't let the concerns of the world beat you down. Whenever it feels like everyone's against you and against your faith in Christ, remember that when God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. God wins. They don't have a gun big enough. They don't have a pen mighty enough. They don't have a law strong enough to overcome the one true living God who is over all, above all, and greater than all. So the first reason to have courage is because God gave his all. The second reason to have courage is because God justifies us all. One of the greatest tools the enemy has is to accuse us. Satan wants us to believe that we couldn't possibly be forgiven by God. Satan, even after we accept Christ, wants us to believe that we couldn't possibly be used by God, that we couldn't possibly be useful to God. And that is an absolute lie from Satan himself. The lost world around us tells us we're bigots, that we're narrow-minded, that we're hate mongers, and no matter where we turn, the message around us is that we, as Christians, are the problem. And if it wasn't for Christians in the world, there wouldn't be any problems. However, if it wasn't for Christians, there wouldn't be a United States of America. Frankly, I'm sure we'd all be speaking a different language if we were here at all. Unfortunately, this country has chosen to follow the doctrine of man instead of the word of God. And now we've become the enemy of the state as Christians, and we're not open-minded according to them. However, when you actually examine the facts, you quickly realize that Christians are far more open-minded and have worked much more diligently throughout time to assure the freedom of all people and even the freedom to choose not to worship God. But when the facts are bothersome, simply ignore them and stick to your talking points. I'm still amazed, and I apologize if this is where you're sitting, but I'm still amazed at the number of people in our country who actually think if we had more gun control laws, that would stop gun crimes. Can I say to you, first of all, I have never, ever seen a surveillance video of a gun walking into a convenience store and asking the clerk to hold his hands up and asking for the money out of the register. A gun can't do that. People commit crimes, not guns. And when it comes to the facts, the actual facts, the statistical facts, everywhere that gun control laws are stricter, the crime rates are higher. The top cities in the United States with the worst crime rates have the strictest gun control laws, like Washington, D.C., like New Orleans, like Chicago. I just saw a recent comparison between Chicago and Houston, Texas. Demographically very similar, although the minority mix was a little different for Houston than Chicago, but very similar in the demographics of the cities. And yet the homicide rate was astronomically higher in Chicago than in Houston. And Houston has a much more open gun policy where law-abiding citizens can get and carry guns. Listen, I'm not a member of the NRA, and I have nothing against the NRA. I am not somebody who has a concealed weapons permit, and there is nothing wrong with having that. But I want to say to you, for us to look at the facts and deny the facts is to simply ignore the truth. And we have people all over our country who want to deny the truth. I'm sorry for the rant, but I would rather accept God's absolute truth than the opinion and feelings of man. My words aren't going to justify me. My actions are not going to justify me, but praise God, his act on the cross and my willingness to accept his forgiveness has justified me once and for all. I don't have to fear anyone taking that from me. You know what? Someone could shoot me today, and they cannot take away the fact that I am in God's hands. Someone can call me narrow-minded. They can tell me that I'm mean-spirited for saying that Jesus Christ is the only way. But I would rather stand on God's word than on how someone else feels about God's word. They say, many that accuse Christians of being narrow-minded, that we're intellectually inferior. My SAT score and my IQ score is neither going to get me into heaven or out of heaven. It is but the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only way I can get into heaven. Some 42 years ago, as a 6-year-old boy, I knelt beside my mother's bed and I asked God's forgiveness. And I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And the next opportunity I had at church to walk that aisle and come forward and say, I'm not ashamed of Christ. I want to be baptized in believer's baptism, obedience to Christ's command. I was baptized. And I know, not because of the baptism that I had, but because of the asking God's forgiveness and placing my faith in him, I'm saved to this day. And the word of God tells me that I can trust that I'm in God's hands. Jesus said it this way in John 10:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I didn't get in the Father's hand by my work. I got in his hand by the work of Christ, what he accomplished for me. I simply accepted the forgiveness that he extended to me. The world can break loose. It can spin further out of control, and it will. But I will never be out of the Father's hand. And if you've placed your faith in Christ, you'll never be out of the Father's hand. Don't be afraid what's going on in the world, because our God is greater than anyone that would stand against us. So we can have courage because God gave his all and God justifies his all. The third reason that we can have courage is because God perfectly loves us all. I know many of you here, but the truth of the matter is, I don't know very many of you well enough to know exactly how you were raised. I may know a little bit about that, but I don't know what your home life was like. I don't know what it was like with your parents. I was pretty fortunate to grow up in a home where my parents were very supportive, where my parents were very encouraging. I mean, they did mean stuff like make me go to school and make me go to church and make me eat my vegetables. Mean stuff. I'm telling you, it was rough. It was rough, but I made it through. Oh, but seriously, some of you may have grown up in situations that weren't so good. situations where your parents weren't supportive, where you felt like you could never live up to their standards, where they always seemed to be beating you down about things. Maybe even in some cases you grew up with parents who told you you'd never amount to anything. I want to say to you, do not believe those lies. The Word of God is very clear about His love for us, and it doesn't matter where we were born, what family we were born into, what has been poured into us by others. God's Word is the truth, not what other people say. And we can count on God's Word. And verse 35 of this text is one of those verses that should give us all the comfort and the confidence that we need in God. And Paul begins by saying, who can separate us from the love of God? And then he goes through this litany of things that to try to literally describe everything that we might possibly think about that might separate us from God, from His love. Pain and suffering cannot separate you from the love of God. Hunger or the lack of clothing cannot separate you from the love of God. Death, life, angels, rulers, the past, the present, the future, the highest peak, the lowest depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you can just accept the fact that God loves you, you must learn to accept the fact that God will never stop loving you. No matter your deepest or darkest thoughts, you can't be separated from God's love. You can walk away from His protection. You can walk away from His blessing by choosing to rebel against Him even as a Christian. But I want to say to you, even then, He never stops loving you. We can't be reminded often enough of the picture of God's amazing love for us through the prodigal son and his dad. You know, the prodigal son basically came to his dad and said, look, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to be in your company any longer. I want to take what's mine and I want to go over there. I want to go somewhere else and I want to have a good time with it. His dad said, okay, son, here it is. And he left. And you know how the account goes. He got over there and spent it all and he found himself. He couldn't find a job and the only thing he could find was to be with the pigs and feed pigs. And you know, for a Jew to be with pigs, that was the lowest of low. So hungry that he wanted to eat the very thing that he was feeding the pigs. And it was in that moment, at that low moment, that he realized, look, my dad's servants have it better than I do. I just want to go back and ask my dad to let me be his servant. So he takes off back. And literally as he's coming in the distance, the father sees him coming, which tells us the father was looking for him. Come home. And rather than stay on the steps and cross his arms and say, well, it's about time, the Word of God tells us that he went out to him. And the Word of God says he fell upon him. That's biblical language for saying he threw his arms around him and he kissed and he hugged his son. And there was sloppy tears all over the place and he was embracing his long-lost son. I want to say to you, short of the cross itself, that is the clearest picture of God's love we have in Scripture. That's the love that He has for you. You have been off in the distant land wandering from Him, but the moment you turn, you find a Heavenly Father who's there waiting and embraces you and loves all over you. What an amazing picture of love. This morning, I want to take just a couple of minutes here to share a song with you that reminds us of that kind of amazing love that God has for us. The words to the song are going to be on the screen as the song plays, but I want you to consider the depth, the amazing love that God has for you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us, oh, Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all, oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh.
So easy to become overwhelmed by our own sin, our own grief, and the demands of people around us, and forget that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and accepts us right where we are, and who forgives us when we repent. God loves us perfectly. There's nobody in your life that'll ever love you the way God loves you. Nobody. Because I don't care how close you are to anybody, they don't know you like God knows you. They don't know every thought that passes through your mind, but He does. They don't know every hurt you've experienced, but He does. They don't know every victory you've experienced, but He does. And regardless of where you've been and regardless of what you've done, He loves you perfectly. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by all that's going on around us. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have to be afraid, because we have a God who's on the throne, who's in control, who loves us more than we could ever love Him back. So when you get discouraged, when you feel beaten down, when you fear what might be on the horizon for this country or for this world, let me remind you, God gave His all. God justifies us all. And God perfectly loves us all. That's an amazing love. Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to fill that void in your life. You've turned to relationships and it hasn't worked. You've turned to prestige or power or money or things, and it hasn't worked. I want to say to you, the only thing that's going to fill that void in your life is when you first admit that you can't run your life on your own and you need help. And you admit to yourself and agree with God that you're a sinner and that you need His forgiveness. But when you do that, that void that nothing else has been able to fill, God will fill. And you'll leave here different. And you'll never regret it. And yes, He loves you perfectly and wants the best for you. Maybe you're here today as a Christian and you realize you've been allowing other things to creep into your life. You've been allowing yourself to be distracted by things that God, frankly, doesn't even want in your life. You're willing to let go of those things. Because the bottom line for all of us is that we would know Him more. The bottom line for all of us as Christians is that we would fall more and more madly in love with Him. To be passionate followers of Jesus Christ. If you realize there are things that have been keeping you from doing that, from following Him with all of who you are, then ask His forgiveness today and say, God, remove those things from my life. Maybe you just have some hurt, some burden in your life that you need to give to God today. Maybe there's someone that you know that needs to know Christ. Whatever it is you need to do right now during this invitation time, during this time of prayer, is to give those things to God. Let Him have His way right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your amazing love for us. We thank You that no matter what is going on in the world around us, that we can come back to the absolute truth of Your word and know that we know that You are in control and nothing can separate us from Your love. God, for those who are here today that don't know You, I pray they'd have the courage right now to ask Your forgiveness, to place their faith in You. Lord, for those who are here today that find themselves as Christians, dry and away from You. God, just like the prodigal, Lord, it's not that they've wandered off to a distant land and squandered things, but God, they've just not been pursuing You. God, I pray right now they turn to You to find a wonderful Heavenly Father looking for them, longing for them, ready to wrap Your loving arms around them. God, whatever You need to do in our hearts right now, whatever You need to do in this place, for this place to be Your place, God, not our place, but Your place, let us let go and trust it to You. It's in Your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen.